Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it all worked through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using the parable. So it was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Caroline. I'm one of the assistant ministers here at St. James, and it's my delight to bring God's word to you this morning. So let's pray as we start. Thank you, Father, that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we may know you better and live to your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, if you had to assess the world, how do you think we're going? Are we on the up and up as a society? Are we improving? Are things getting better and better? Is our life getting easier and easier? Or are things getting more and more difficult and complex? And what about when we try and evaluate God's church or the movement of Christianity? Are we on the up and up? Is Christianity still influencing and changing the world? What is the story of God's church in the world at the moment? And how do you summarise that story? Well, on one hand, we have a church in China where we have seen the revival of the Christian church over the last 50 years. It's estimated that there is 93 to 115 million Protestant Christians in that country. That's the fastest growing religion in China. We are definitely winning. But at the same time, Christianity is the world's most persecuted religion across all nations. According to a 2020 report, government restrictions and social hostilities towards Christianity have risen in over 150 countries. Not good. And what about us here in Australia? Well, we face ongoing marginalisations as Christians in culture, and Christians can be dismissed in some places and a little on the nose. I know that in the 90s, when I first went to Bible college and decided to be an Anglican minister, people around me thought I was a bit eccentric. But I was at a cousin's party the other day, and when somebody asked me what I did for a job, and I replied, a Christian minister, he looked shocked and then walked away. Now, he may have had other stuff going on. I'm not sure what his story was. But for me, I was shocked and also a little embarrassed and maybe even shamed. How do we sum up God's work in the world? Well, today we're going to look at two parables from Jesus. They're very small, just a sentence or two each, but they're radical because they tell us about how God is working in the world and how God's plans will play out in history as we listen to these parables about what the kingdom of heaven is like. So today we're going to look at what the kingdom of heaven isn't, what it's not, and then what the kingdom is, that it's small and hidden, and that it's transformative. So firstly, what the kingdom of heaven is not. Last week we looked at the parable of the sower, and this week we continue our series in chapter 13 of Matthew, and it is littered with parables. As we read the parables, Jesus has a really familiar introduction. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into flour." And then he goes on and follows with another five or six parables. So what is he talking about? What is the kingdom of heaven? I think often when we read this phrase, we make a little mistake and focus on what perhaps Jesus is not focusing on. We use the word heaven as a sort of shorthand as Christians for the place that you go when you die, the place of blessing where we receive eternal life after the resurrection of Jesus. But when Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he's not talking about a place or a location, but his emphasis is on the kingdom. He's talking about the realm where God rules, the place where God reigns. Now, of course, we know that God rules over all things, but his kingdom is the place where God's rule is perfect and restored, where God is rightly acknowledged as the one who sits on the throne, and where all people in his kingdom live as God wants them to, with lives of obedience and righteousness. We see this description in the Lord's Prayer, which we pray quite often. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is a place where Jesus' will is known and lived out. And as believers, we look forward to a time when God's kingdom is revealed and when all people will bow their knees to his authority. It's why Jesus, when he starts his earthly ministry, can say that the kingdom of heaven has come near. He says, it says in the beginning of Matthew's gospel, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. When Jesus arrives, the kingdom of heaven is near because Jesus is here. And in him we see God's perfect rule lived out. Jesus is perfectly obedient to his Father. He lives the righteous life that Israel was meant to be. And he is God's appointed king, the Messiah. And he embodies and lives out what the kingdom will look like. So what do these parables teach us about God's kingdom and what we should expect as we live in the world where Jesus is king? The first parable tells us that the kingdom of heaven is small and hidden. Let me read it to you. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds come and perch in its branches. So this is a mustard seed. It's a very small seed. The closest I've ever come to a mustard seed is in a jar of whole grain mustard in my fridge. But what we need to know is that it's a very small seed. And this is a mustard tree. Well, at least I hope it is, because I had to use a Google image search to find a mustard tree. So if it's not, you could perhaps correct me later. But what we do need to know is that a mustard tree becomes very big. It grows very large, up to 30 feet tall or 9 metres tall, and it spreads out as well, as you can see in those pictures. And certainly in a sandy desert like Israel, it becomes a very large shrub and ultimately a large tree, so the birds can come and perch in its branches. Now, at one level, this parable kind of feels fairly obvious to understand, especially for us living 2,000 years after Jesus. The kingdom of heaven will start small, like a tiny mustard seed, with just a few disciples of Jesus around him, and then a larger group of followers. And then that small group spreads across Asia, ever growing, until ultimately becoming a major power in Western civilization. And it spreads even to the ends of the earth, to St. James Croydon. Christianity, the kingdom of heaven, is now the largest religion on the planet and a giant tree. But I wonder if this reading is just a little bit simplistic and becomes slightly problematic. It's simplistic because it fits a little too neatly into our modern idea of progress, the belief in Western culture that good things just get better and better, And so God's kingdom will just continue to grow and be dominant in the world. And it's also problematic because how do we make sense of our experience of God's church? Growth, but persecution. Increase and decline. Massively influential and also dismissed. Jesus, as always, is much more radical than that. It was radical to his first hearers in the first century and also has something radical to say to us too. This parable tells us that God's kingdom will be small and hidden and often insignificant or inconsequential, and that kingdom growth will be unexpected and slow. We see this kingdom value of small and hidden lived out in Jesus' life. Jesus was born as a baby in Bethlehem. He escaped to Egypt as a refugee under the threat of death. He lived for 30 years as a carpenter in a mountain backwater called Nazareth. And when he started in his public ministry, he was doubted and challenged. He had a loyal group of followers and even moments of great fame and popularity. But the ministry of Jesus was not about progress, not about things getting better and better. It was not a story where his acceptance grew and grew. It was not about greater and greater people acknowledging him as God's king. It was as small as a mustard seed. The kingdom of God came near in Jesus, and instead of people falling on their knees and accepting him, they plotted against him, they betrayed him, they mocked him and flogged him, and they ultimately killed him. When God showed up on earth in Jesus, his kingdom appeared small, and to those in authority around him, insignificant. He had no army, no victory, not even a popular uprising. Instead, he died alone on a cross. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. What God was doing was largely hidden. It was not obvious, it wasn't big and noticeable, and only those with eyes to see and ears to hear would notice that the kingdom of God was breaking in. Jesus' victory was not found in progress or growing acceptance, but in the vindication from God, resurrection from death to life, victory given and revealed by God through resurrection. And so for us, we don't need to look for a kingdom that's progressing. Instead, we trust in a kingdom that will be revealed and vindicated. And one day we will see a whopping big, magnificent and huge mustard tree. And that truth allows us to live in the complexity of God's church in 2023. It allows for moments of growth and revival, but it equally allows for marginalisation and for persecution of God's people and his church. Jesus' parable is challenging us to see the world as God sees it, to not look for progress, but instead to be people who have God's eyes to see. The vindication of God's people and his kingdom lies ahead. Well, the second parable teaches us about the kingdom of heaven and how it works to transform and change. Jesus told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. Well, no doubt many of you are experts about bread baking. It was one of those COVID things. Anyone get into bread baking? Yes, there's quite a few hands there. Pulled out the bread maker, got to work on it. Well, one of the recent converts is my nephew, Huey. This is him. This is his 12. And he's a very enthusiastic bread baker. This is a photo he took yesterday. He spent about... Go back one, Kushak. sorry. He rang me yesterday because I said, I'd like to use a slide of you and your bread. He said, sure, but I need to walk you through the bread making process so that you don't misrepresent me. I took about an A4 page of notes, most of which I'm not using, but it was very exciting. So that's him and his bread. It has really taken over his life, and he started with this sourdough starter. He calls it the monster because it has to be fed every day, and it's made up of fermented flour and water, and it grows its own wild yeast. It's actually pretty gross. I don't know whether you'd want it on your bench. But anyway, that's for others to decide. And when he wants to make the bread, he scoops out a small amount of the monster and he mixes it with flour and water and he lets it rest overnight. And it rises. The yeast is key to that transformation. It makes the dough rise and grow. It changes flour and water and salt into a loaf of bread. Yeast adds to the flavour, but it also allows the dough to stretch and ultimately expand into bread. And voila, a cooked loaf. My nephew actually has become pretty good at the age of 12, I think. He's pretty persistent. And it's a pretty amazing outcome. And it's incredible to eat warm bread with some butter on it. Wolfgang's giving a verbal support. Thank you, Wolfgang. Like the mustard seed, the yeast is small, it's quiet, it works its way through the lump of dough, and its work is largely hidden. But it works away transforming and changing the dough, and it's slow. It takes a long time for that loaf to be ready. You don't just snap your fingers and the bread loaf does not arrive in all its splendour ready to go. Instead, it's a slow process and a hidden process of the yeast transforming the whole dough. But change does come. Impact is made, not quickly or dramatically, but in the workings of Jesus in the everyday, as he builds the kingdom of heaven and by his Spirit works through and in his church. It again reflects the work of the King in bringing in his kingdom. Jesus' life and ministry will have a huge impact on the world, but it will be hidden to most people. And slowly move through the world and through history, building the kingdom of heaven. I think it's just such an unexpected way for God to work. When he's King, when Jesus comes, it is understated and hidden to most. But it does appear that that's the way God works and therefore how his kingdom will work. Sometimes in big ways and dramatic ways, but more often in small, everyday ways until Jesus returns, until the full revealing of the kingdom of heaven, when the beautiful, hot, fresh bread will be revealed to all. So how do we live as subjects of the kingdom of heaven? What expectations should we have for the church and for our own lives as we work and live in the world? Well, firstly, we trust in the God who will vindicate. We are people who believe that the kingdom of heaven is a mustard seed, and we look forward to a time when the kingdom of heaven is revealed and his plans and his people are vindicated. And we wait patiently as that little seed grows. And we trust that God is at work in his church in the times of flourishing and revival, but also in the times of marginalisation and persecution. We don't look back to the good old days or wait for the signs of when Christianity might be turning around or progressing. We trust instead in the King and what he told us his kingdom would be like. And we are not defeated when it looks like God's church is not flourishing. Instead, we trust that God is growing his church in small and hidden ways as we wait for Christ's return. And if you're here this morning as a person who is seeking to know God, to investigate who Jesus is and what that might mean for your life, then these parables offer you an incredible invitation to be part of the kingdom of heaven, to be part of God's work in the world. And we have lots of ways that you can do that at St. James, lots of ways that you can investigate and ask questions and work out whether this is true and real. So you might like to talk to Alan at the welcome desk as you head out and ask him more questions about what that can look like for you. Secondly, we are to be a church that brings transformation. We are not simply to sit back and be resigned to whatever happens, to simply sit and watch the mustard tree grow. We are part of the kingdom of heaven. We are God's church in Croydon, and we are part of the yeast working in and through the dough. We need to be a church that brings transformation to people and to our community and to our nation. And we need to offer life to Jesus to those around us. We need to welcome people as Jesus welcomed us. We need to be a community that loves and cares for all people. And as we kick off the year together, we need to be a church that reflects the kingdom and overflows with joy as we live and trust God and patiently wait on him. We need to be a church that overflows with impact into our community and into the lives of our workmates and our families and our friends. And we need to overflow with growth as we see people brought into the kingdom. And that is St. James' vision for our next 10 years and for however long we get to be a church until Christ returns and his kingdom is revealed as a mighty tree and as a beautiful, warm loaf of bread. This is what we will do to serve God's kingdom. So let's pray together. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you that you build your kingdom in such unexpected ways, that you work in the everyday, in the small and hidden ways to build and grow your kingdom. We thank you for Jesus and for his trust and obedience to you, for his death and for his resurrection. Help us to trust you and wait patiently for his return, full of confidence and overflowing with joy, impact and growth, till we see your kingdom fully revealed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.